Hello and welcome to this week's Inside Education. Our website is insideed.com, where you can listen to or download podcasts of all previous Inside Education programmes. I'm Sean Delaney and I'll be your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The Computers and Education Society of Ireland, or CESI for short, celebrates its 40th anniversary this year. To mark this milestone, for their annual conference, the Society returned to the city where it all began, Galway, and to an institution that is coincidentally also celebrating its 40th anniversary this year, Galway Mayo Institute of Technology. I spent plenty of time at this year's CESI conference, which took place last weekend, and over the coming weeks I'll bring you excerpts from the interviews that I recorded during that time. But this week I bring you the voices of three participants. Later on, we'll hear from the manager of the Seomra Ronga blog, which is a great resource for primary school teachers and more recently for post-primary teachers. And we'll also hear about what you can do with your old computers and how your school can equip itself with computers at minimal charge. But first, I spoke to Anne White about plans for technology in the new junior certificate cycle. Anne White is Education Officer with the NCCA, working on ICT in curriculum and assessment at primary and post-primary level. Anne was the National Coordinator for Digital Content and ICT in the curriculum with the NCTE until September 2011. She is a primary teacher currently on secondment from St. Oliver Plunkett National School, Malahide in Dublin. I spoke to Anne before she gave her presentation at the conference. She first told me what her presentation at CESI would be all about.
I'm looking at the area of short course development in junior cycle, and we have two courses. The NCCA are developing a number of courses, but we've two courses which we're specifically looking at ICT related topics, one in the area of digital media literacy and the other in relation to computer science and looking at coding within that. So I'll be exploring the opportunities that those courses in particular will offer, as well as highlighting what's involved in developing a short course and seeing the potential for them as schools and teachers in their schools to develop their own short courses. As I said, NCCA will be providing six short courses in September 2014, but schools have also the autonomy and the opportunity to themselves to go and look at the development of short courses to meet their needs and the needs of particularly the needs of the students in their schools. So they may look at other ICT related areas or complementary courses.
So if we take those two courses you mentioned, one in computer science and one in digital media literacy, you're leading the development of those courses. How do you go about that, doing that?
Right, well, I'm leading within the junior cycle team on the two ICT related ones, and we have commissioned people to work with us on development of the two courses. So we have to start by thinking if you're looking at digital media literacy, what are the important things that students should learn about in a course like that? At the end of 100 hours, which is the time consumed in each short course, what would you want a student to be able to do, know and learn about? So in digital media literacy, for example, we would have a strong focus on giving students the ability to be able to source information, to evaluate information they find online. I mean, one of the big conundrums for all of us, not just young people, is, you know, being overwhelmed with the amount of information you get, knowing is the source, is it valid, is it reliable, where did it come from? And also then being able to, you know, participate online, which is the big, you know, being able to share, connect and participate online. How do you do that? How do you do that responsibly? How do you do that to respect the copyright of others? How do you do it creatively? And we'll also hopefully in that course be able to look at some of the creative industries specifically around which have made massive uses of digital media. And in doing so, the students should be able to produce elements of digital media, and in doing so we'll learn about kind of a critical digital media literacy that they need to have that we all probably need to have for lifelong learning and lifelong living. Then in parallel we have a course, another 100 hour course, focusing around, I suppose it's exploring computer science, but with a particular emphasis on students getting into a fundamental understanding of how coding works and how to create short programs. But again, they would be working in teams, sort of a project-based learning approach with, as with the digital media literacy course, short tasks, working in groups and working in individually in some cases, and culminating then maybe in a bigger type of project towards the end. And I suppose in the computer science, there's a lot of talk about computer science and what it should entail, and everybody should be coding, and there's Coded Dojo and there's Code Academy, and there's multiple different systems out there or approaches out there. But one thing that would be really important, I think, in this course is that students develop their thinking skills. So while if they never go on to do computer science or to be a coder, this course should still help them in learning how to think logically, to sequence, to brainstorm, to come up with an idea, present it to a group and say, is this feasible to develop software around? What do I need to have? All that goes with coding. I mean, people no longer work in rooms on their own and just code. They have to get involved in teamwork. So there are different skills involved. And, you know, by participating in this course of 100 hours, students should be able to develop some of those really important underlying logical thinking that we have, that we are grappling with in the system. And problem solving obviously is fundamental to all of it.
And when is it envisaged, Anne, that these will be implemented in school?
Right. So we're still in a work in progress with the short courses. They'll go for consultation. All the short courses for consultation September, October, for implementation in schools or take up in schools in September. Schools are not obliged to take the courses we offer. As I said, they can develop their own. But it is September 2014, yeah. So it's a tight timeline.
Well, it is in terms of getting professional development for teachers. Have you given any thought to what professional development teachers will need or who will teach these courses?
Professional development will be required, but there are quite a few schools interested in the area, already doing a significant amount of this work, but possibly haven't it validated in a curriculum or in a syllabus that the short course in 100 hours will tie it down and give some teachers actually now the sort of freedom to actually go and do this, and it goes towards certification. So there's quite a lot of interest out there, and I think it's good for teachers who have been doing this sort of on a, you know, an ad hoc basis in schools or championing at the area. So I mean, there are quite a few online courses. I'm hoping that obviously the third level sector will rise to the challenge and see the opportunities that they can offer, you know, schools, particularly around, I suppose, the programming and coding area and the computer science. That's probably more complex, we'll say, in terms of professional development than the digital media literacy. But the department are working on a plan, and significant funding has been allocated by the Department of Education and Skills to the professional development for the full junior cycle. So it's hard to focus in on just short courses because they are an element of the full picture.
If we take a course that is 100 hours long, how does that fit into the whole jigsaw? How many other courses of 100 hours long would students be doing, or would there be other much longer courses?
No, well, all short courses are 100 hours. So the junior cycle, I suppose, the big change is around it's a number of subjects and short courses. So you could choose to do a maximum of 4 short courses and 6 subjects, or you could do 8 subjects and 2 short courses.
And that was Anne White from the NCCA. You're listening to Inside Education on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Podcasts of previous programmes can be downloaded from iTunes or from our website insideed.com. This week I'm speaking to workshop presenters at the 40th anniversary conference of the Computers and Education Society of Ireland, or CESI. Next I spoke to Damien Quinn, who is a primary school teacher teaching in a large rural primary school in Sligo. He uses technology as much as possible in the classroom. He is a PDST technology trainer, formerly the NCTE trainer, and also runs the Seomra Ranga website. At the conference, Damien gave a presentation called 40 Technologies for the Classroom. When I spoke to Damien, I first asked him what his presentation was all about.
It was a whistle-stop tour through 40 different websites, apps and technologies that can be used in the classroom, both for dealing with the kids and for teachers' preparation.
So if you were to take the top 5, what had you included there?
Oh gosh, top 5 is probably hard because I probably left out another 40 that I could have used. There's a nice app called Show Me, which is a whiteboard app. And why I showed that was one of the things that you can do with it is you can record everything that you do with it. So for example, ways in which I use it in my classroom is to do a maths problem on it. It records your voice, it records your pen stroke, and then you can save it as a video. And the video can then be uploaded uploaded to a class or a school blog, and the children can actually see the maths problem at home if they're having difficulty. So that's one that I like. A website that I really like at the moment is called literacyshed.com. An English guy called Rob Smith started it up last summer, and he has used videos. A lot of them are animations, and they can be used as the basis for literacy. So whether it's oral work or written work, creative writing, it's a really good website for primary school. Another app that I recommended in the talk this morning is called In a World Drama, and this will make 30-second videos that look like a cinematic trailer for a book, and the kids have been working on those for their book reports this week. And how I'm using that at the moment is children are doing book reports, so they're actually pretending that a movie is going to be made of the book, and they make a video, like a 30-second video that's like a cinematic trailer for the book. That one is really popular at the moment. So that's just there's a range of different ones like that can be used.
Most people, Damien, will know you as the owner or the manager of Seomra Ranga. Yeah. Can you tell us a bit about that website and how it came about?
I started it up in 2007, 5 years ago. So it's been on the go that long. It started off really just as a bit of a mess around, really. One summer I had been tinkering around with websites, and I noticed when I was cleaning up my desktop that I had quite a lot of resources that I had created for my own classroom. So I just decided to see would it be worth my while putting them together as a website, and started to categorise them. And all of a sudden it seemed as if there was the basis of a website there. So I decided to take the plunge and throw it out there. And it was very humble beginnings, really, back in 2007. And I think looking at the figures, I think for the whole of the first year, there were about 12,000 visitors to the site. And at the moment, that has grown now to the point where there's probably about 90,000 a month. So it has it's got really popular. We changed the whole format of it in 2010 to try, and it was becoming a little bit unwieldy and difficult to organise, and was taking a lot of time. So we totally changed it to a blog-based site, and from my point of view, it's working much better. It's much easier to find stuff on it and to organise it.
And how much work goes into maintaining it?
Hours of work. I suppose it's a labour of love in a lot of ways, and no money would pay you for the amount of time that you put into it. But I get a lot of enjoyment out of putting it together, and getting a lot of feedback from schools and teachers as well. When I see the resources in classrooms being up on the wall, and to hear inspectors telling me that all of the teachers are using it, I must say I enjoy that part of it.
And who is the primary audience for your site?
In terms of nationality, obviously Irish teachers, although there are some from, let's say, Great Britain and the States, and particularly primary teachers, although that's also changing. There are a lot of secondary teachers that are using it as well. Particularly, one of the main reasons that I set it up initially was because there was nowhere out there that was doing resources for the teaching of Irish. And that, I think, has been one plus for Seomra Ranga. There is still nowhere else that is providing free downloadable resources for the classroom for teaching Gaeilge. So a lot of teachers are using it for that.
Is it all your own materials, or do you now take materials from other people?
I suppose it's about 98% my own. I mean, the initial object when I set up the website was that it was going to be a place where people would share. That hasn't happened to the extent that I really wanted it to. But it's slowly growing. That teachers are very reticent, I suppose, about putting their own resources up on site in case people might be critical of them or criticise mistakes that are there. But I mean, I'm not a perfectionist either, and I know there are probably plenty of mistakes and stuff, but really, you know, that's not the be all and the end all of it. You know, the sharing is the important thing. So I'd encourage more people to share if they can.
And what class do you teach yourself?
I've moved this year from, I had first class for the last few years, and I moved back up to sixth class. So it's been pretty hectic this year. I've 30 kids, and I must say they're really into their technology at this stage.
What kind of technology do you use with the class?
Lots of different kinds. We have a class set of iPods, so we use the iPods a good bit. But I suppose the big thing that we've done this year is I set up a class blog for them. And they're doing quite a lot of work on the blog. They're doing a lot of their homework on the blog. And it's been, it's actually brought them together as a class, as another teacher remarked to me. Just a sense of camaraderie, sense of community. They've actually worked so hard at it. And literally it only started in September and they've put up about 1,500 posts on it and about 6,000 comments. So it's generated a conversation in the classroom. And to hear one of my academically weaker pupils remark that I love doing homework this year because we can do some of it on the blog, that says it all, really.
And when you say there's so many comments put up, one of the things we hear a lot about is about bullying and things like that. Has there been any problem with inappropriate comments being put up?
No, not really. I mean, we set the ground rules out at the very, very beginning. The blog is private, so it's just for myself and the children. And obviously, they can also show it to their parents and that, but it's not open to the public. But I wrote to the parents and informed them what I was doing. And I made no question about that. If there was anything inappropriate happened, that was it, that there were no second chances, that their account would be closed down and the children would have to go back and be traditional and do everything in their copy. That has been respected hugely. There has not been one question of any inappropriate comment or any inappropriate material going up, and they've respected that very much. It's been fantastic.
And how were you able to make it just usable just by the children in the class and yourself?
It's literally the click of a button. You can decide to make it public or private. I thought about it for a while, and because this was my first time using a class blog, I decided just to keep it among ourselves, just to see how it would work. And I'm sort of happy I've done it that way now, because the kids have put up a lot of very personal posts, and I think it might be a little bit too dangerous to let them out into the public. And yet, at the same time, it has given them a forum for writing, for sharing things about themselves. So, for example, I've been doing a lot of confirmation preparation recently. So they've been writing articles about their baptism and their confirmation, and I've even got the parents to write articles about their own confirmation on the blog. And they've been really positive, and the kids love reading each other's work through that. So it's expanding their audience as well. I mean, if they do their homework in a copy, how many people ever see it? You know, probably me, themselves, and maybe their parents. Whereas now everybody is reading each other's. They're getting ideas from each other, and their audience has expanded.
And do they all have a password for it then?
Yeah, I set up an account for each one of them with a generic password, and then they could change their own password. They then had choices to put up their own avatar, to change the theme on their own page, to give it a name. So they personalised it in lots of ways. And I must say, they're doing great, great work. I mean, they're even blogging at weekends, uninitiated. There was an interesting one came in one weekend where, I forgot to say that I moderate all the posts and I moderate all the comments. So the kids knew that before they put anything, that everything comes through me and then I okay it and publish it. But one weekend, one of the kids decided to blog about when she was serving at Mass that morning, a mouse ran around the altar. And she wrote a big long blog post about the mouse on the altar. And then she started getting the others comment on it and saying, oh my gosh, I missed Mass this morning. And it generated a conversation, and it's just been amazing. Things like the other thing that we do as well is I use one of the sites I mentioned in my talk this morning is called 7puzzleblog.com, and I use a lot of the maths problems and teasers from that website and have them on my blog and put one up every night, and they absolutely love those, and they have a go at them at home, and then we look at them in class again the next day. And to hear kids saying, you know, sometimes I might forget to put one up, is there no sign of a maths problem today? Or even at the weekend, you know, to get a kid saying a message, any chance of a maths problem this weekend, things like that have made it really worthwhile.
Do you use any other technologies in your classroom apart from the blog?
Well, I suppose we use the iPods, and we try to link up technologies as well. Twitter, of course, is a big one that we use as well. We try to tweet as often as we can about things that we are doing or ask questions. And of course, through the website, then I also organise Twitter projects. And I mentioned this morning in the talk one coming up the beginning of March, which is called the Signs of Spring Twitter project, where we're asking schools to tweet about any signs of spring that they see using the hashtag #Antarach. And we're asking them to tweet photographs of things they see as well. And at the end of the project, we'll collate all the tweets together to give a sort of an overall picture of spring in Ireland 2013. So Twitter is a big one that we use as well.
How does your teaching inform what goes up on seomraranga.com?
Well, as I said earlier on, initially the website was set up because I had resources of my own. So a lot of the stuff that I start putting up are things that I'm preparing for my own classroom anyway, and just deciding to share them with everybody. But there are also other things that I put up that I think, oh yeah, that might be useful for teachers. It mightn't be for my own classroom, but I know, let's say, an infant teacher or a teacher in second class might find that handy. I suppose to a certain extent, what I'm doing in my own classroom does inform, but there's lots of other stuff there as well.
And who hosts your website?
Well, it's a hosting company, but in terms of financing it, I finance it all myself, I suppose it's been... it's got more expensive over the year. It's been a victim of its own success because the more people that visit it, the more it's going to cost me in terms of hosting and buying extra bandwidth. So it's a struggle sometimes to try and keep it on the road financially and to justify putting the time into it as well. So I'm always looking for advertisers to advertise on the site just to keep the costs down.
Okay. And do you have any plans for developing it in the future?
Well, I suppose there are loads of things that I want to do. One of the projects that I started a couple of years ago, you might recall all of the old film strips that used to be in primary schools. And I asked teachers if they had any film strips in their school that they were willing to part with. And I've started digitising some of those. We've already put up some of the old Bontus film strips. For some of the junior classes. It's very, very time consuming. That's the only problem. I've about 500 or 600 of them sitting on my sitting room floor waiting to be digitised. So sometime when I have a lot of time, that's a major project. But it's a long-term project and it'll get done over time.
You mentioned there that it's 98% your own work. Do you welcome contributions from other people?
Absolutely, yeah. Teachers are sending me, let's say, PowerPoints that they have done on a particular topic, or handouts or worksheets, or simply links of websites that they have used. So absolutely, I would welcome anything. The one thing I would just caution and say to beware of, some people send me PowerPoints that they think are great, and they are really, but they have used images that they don't have rights to, and that can be a big problem. And so I have to refuse some stuff and say, you know, due to copyright issues, I have to be very careful what I put up. So if you're I would absolutely welcome any resources that people are willing to share, but just be careful that you are not infringing anybody's copyright.
And how would you know if the images are still in copyright?
Well, you can see watermarks on some of them where they have come from digital agencies or are taking them straight from the web. So it's just something we have to be careful of.
Even for educational use?
I think so. I mean, I'm just very cautious. I mean, I certainly I don't want to be sued for having stuff that's copyright on the site. So I try to be careful about it.
And indeed, he's right about that. Seomraranga.com is the address of Damien's website for teachers' resources. And the website spelling is seomraranga.com. Finally this week, I spoke to Stephen Daly. Stephen runs Camara Ireland, the Irish education hub of the international charity Camara Education. In the last 3 years, Camara Ireland has trained 600 teachers and youth workers and supplied 2,000 computers to schools and youth centres across Ireland. I began by asking Stephen to tell me, what is Camara Ireland?
Camara Ireland is the Irish hub of the international charity Camara Education. So what Camara Ireland do is we take refurbished computers collected from businesses around Ireland predominantly, and we package them together with teacher training and make them available at a very low cost to schools mainly in disadvantaged areas. But more and more what we're seeing at the moment is schools struggling in the current climate for money, struggling to be able to fund large-scale IT projects, to be able to bring in the likes of laptops and desktops and iPads and things into schools. So what we do is we try and support schools to make that kind of technology and the teacher training to go with it available, so they're able to access it and start integrating technology more and more into their classrooms.
So you upgrade the old computers, is that right?
We do, yeah. So they're refurbished. We have a refurbishment facility in Chapel Izzet in Dublin, and we upgrade all the computers. So we're an approved Microsoft refurbisher. We're able to put, for example, all the computers and laptops going to Irish schools would be carrying Windows 7. And then we put our own package of educational software onto them as well. So the whole idea is that they're available to you. They're able to be used kind of out of the box for the school. So they'll be useful for a teacher from the moment they start using them. So you, the likes of Audacity, James Crook, I know, is here today, one of the software developers on the Audacity team. It's a brilliant piece of software that allows for recording of sound recording and editing. It's fantastic. The likes of Scratch, you know, small program and then a whole host of other programs then for use in the classroom.
And where do you get the computers from?
So Camara sourced the computers from the private sector and the public sector in Ireland. So we mainly would be sourcing them from companies like, say, PwC, for example, would have recently donated a huge amount of computers to us, about 600 laptops. And they'd all be of a good enough spec to be reused in both the Irish education system, and then Camara Education, as a larger organisation, also works with schools in Africa, with schools in Jamaica. We'd be working with schools in Haiti as well. But the computers mainly come from businesses, but we also then source computers from private individuals that come up to the door in Chapel Izzet and drop in their computer, which is absolutely fantastic.
So if somebody wants to get rid of an old computer, they can bring it to you?
Absolutely. We're always looking for people to come down with computers. Companies that are refreshing their IT that want to get in contact with us, you should check out either the Camara Ireland website, which is camaraireland.ie, or the Camara Education website, which is camara.org. We take all computers, even if it's too old in and of itself. There might be parts in it that we can reuse. And then obviously we have a recycling partner. So everything that isn't used in our own workshop, we recycle ethically and properly under the WEEE directive.
If a school then wants to get some computers under the Camara scheme, how do they go about it?
So one of the things we struggle with hugely is the schools don't know we exist, because obviously as a social enterprise, we don't have a huge marketing budget, so we're not taking out full page ads in the Irish Times, that kind of thing. So if a school is interested and is interested in computers and teacher training, the best bet is to get in contact with us directly. So you can get in contact by email. So my email address is just Stephen, Steven, at Camara, camara.ie, or else go onto the website and you'll find all our contact details there as well.
And about how much would it cost for one of your reconditioned computers as opposed to buying a brand new computer with the same software on it?
So what we do is, rather than just selling the hardware by itself, as I say, we put it together in a package with the teacher training. So we aren't really in the business of just selling hardware by itself. But to give you a rough idea, say a package of 15 laptops, for example, for a school, coupled with a teacher training course for maybe 8 to 10 teachers, that would be the cost of about €2,200. So you're looking at a seriously lower cost than for new computers, and then obviously you've got the addition of the training on top of that as well.
And what kind of training do you provide?
So we have an in-house trainer who develops training courses both on a general basis but also specifically for individual schools. So typically we might, for example, go into a school and take a group of teachers who are very uncomfortable with using IT, and we'd start at a basic level and start looking at basic ICT in the classroom, making them more comfortable using it. At a more advanced level, then we do a lot of work with Google applications for education, so training teachers how to use them as a teaching and learning tool. We'd be looking at a lot of the freeware resources that are available online, resources that are available to schools to download and use in the classroom. So it's all focusing on using ICT as a tool for teaching and learning. I mean, technology in itself, you throw laptops into a classroom, no one knows how to use it, they're useless. So they're just a tool. So the really important thing is what you do with them. So that's what we focus on the training, is what tools do I have in my hand now that I can use to suit the way I teach.
Who set up Camara and how long is it around?
So Camara itself as an organisation is going 8 years, set up by a guy called Cormac Lynch, who was an ex-investment banker. He was out in Africa, actually, and was asked the question while he was out there. He was doing a master's in development, was asked the question, you must have loads of computers in Ireland that you're throwing out. Can we have some of them, basically, by a principal of the school? So he came back and he started in the back of Pravda Pub in Dublin, started an operation to try and collect computers, and it's been growing ever since from there. So we're now one of the largest refurbishers in Ireland, and I think last year we sent out a total of 7,000 computers worldwide.
So do you want to give us one last reminder of your website?
Yeah, sure. So the website for the Irish project is camaraireland.ie, and for Camara, the larger Camara organisation, is camara.org.
And that was Stephen Daly closing this week's Inside Education. You can listen to podcasts of previous programmes on InsideEd.com or on iTunes. You can email me at InsideEducation@DublinCityFM.ie. Thanks to all this week's guests and to the organising committee of SESI 2013, especially to Anne McMorrow and John Heffernan. I'll bring you more from the conference in future programmes. Until the same time next week, this is Sean Delaney signing off. Thank you for listening.